Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and breaking news on the Fan that is the ultimate no bleep Sherlock. Austin Seibert went 7-for-7 for field goals Sunday.
Special teams player of the week.
Austin Seibert has been named NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Pretty remarkable. They signed him on Tuesday, and he won him a game on Sunday. That's why we love sports. Every Wednesday, we do our dive into college football, the game that I lose more money at than anything in the world. Hello, John Talty joining us now from CBS Sports, 24/7 Sports. Also teamed up with Armin Katayan on The Price, which you can check out now on Amazon or wherever you get your books. John, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good. I'm going to try to help you not lose more money this week.
Bro, yeah. I'll take all
the tips
you got.
It's kind of hard to predict what 18 to 21-year-olds are going to be doing.
I usually – you want to know what my routine Saturday college football betting strategy is? Have a plan, listen to a bunch of podcasts, be locked in at noon. Then as the day goes on, that's the only day off I ever get anymore. I start drinking, and then whatever's coming on from that 6 to 10 o'clock hour, I'm just letting them fly, baby. It's not a good strategy.
You know, sometimes it works. You know, there were some opportunities. You know, I had some buddies who made a good amount of money live betting on Georgia against Kentucky. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard, and, you know, it's you start chasing it, right? You lose a couple bets early on, you start chasing it, and, you know. It's,
Oregon can't cover to save their lives, but Kentucky did hit, so we're cool with Kentucky right now. John, so I'm checking out your Twitter feed, dude, and everybody should, at JTalty, T-A-L-T-Y. And I want to start, like, college football realignment stuff is so nuts. Now the ACC thinks they have a plan to keep Florida State and Clemson happy. How realistic is any of this?
Well, what's funny is that, you know, Florida State pitched this about 2 years ago, and they got shut down. It didn't go anywhere. And, you know, as we all know, there's been ongoing litigation involving everybody. And now, all of a sudden, they're interested in it. You know, I think what's, you know, interesting about this one, we'll see what happens. It's still early on. You know, and they're ultimately going to have to try to find a way that it's a win-win for both parties. But I think one of the things that has been reiterated multiple times, things that I've heard and my colleagues have heard, is just wondering, you know, where were Florida State and Clemson going to go? You know, I've heard from years from high-ranking sources that the SEC was not going to be interested. That's been reiterated to me over and over again. I think we thought that the Big Ten would make a lot of sense. You know, we've heard that that might not be the case. And so I think this allows, if they can work it out, it allows them to fix what they believe to be a revenue problem, where they're not getting as much of a cut as they think that they deserve, and that they're falling behind SEC and Big Ten programs. And it also allows the ACC to keep, you know, two of its premier properties. You know, Florida State's had, of course, a really bad year this year, so the timing's interesting, but, you know, they've been traditionally good, and they're one of the higher, more well-known programs that, you know, you would like to keep if you can. So, you know, the thing that I am curious at is just, again, how exactly this formula is going to work, where the money is specifically coming from. Because, you know, right now we're seeing things kind of crop up across the country. Like, athletic departments are desperate to try to hold on to and gain as much money as they can because of, you know, revenue sharing coming down the pike and all these different things. So when you're going to ask a Wake Forest to possibly give up revenue to keep Florida State, you know, that's going to be a tricky conversation. That's going to take some massaging, I think, from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips to get everybody on board with it.
Why wouldn't the SEC be interested in Florida State and Clemson, though?
Doesn't help their TV markets, right?
Yeah, I think that's primarily what it is. You're already in both of those markets with Florida and South Carolina. Of course, both of those schools would not enjoy Florida State and Clemson coming in. You know, there's... So that's the big thing is that, you know, what I've been told, you know, over and over again by people I trust is that, you know, you would look to maybe a North Carolina, which allows you to get into a different geographic market that you're not currently in. That would provide more value to, you know, ESPN and also, you know, to the SEC network. The only kind of counter argument that I've
Texas
ever gotten
Texas
about.
A&M?
I think Texas, they're willing to let it ride.
I mean,
Yeah, and Texas is such a huge brand,
well,
right?
And A&M, I think, was furious,
yeah, they got money,
right?
Too.
But they were furious when they let Texas in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's, I think, it's a great segue to what I was about to say, and that, like, one of the reasons why they took Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, it's obvious, right? They're great programs, and they make a lot of money and all that. But it was also those two schools had decided they wanted to leave the Big 12. And for the SEC, it was either we can take them or the Big 10 can take them and plant a flag in our territory, right? So that's the one counter argument that I've gotten with the SEC is, like, if it's a Big 10, do you really want them coming down into Florida and planting a Big 10 flag in Florida? So do you kind of have to be counter-aggressive to grab them before somebody else does? But to this point, you know, they have not been interested in doing that. They like where they're at. And you just don't want to add anybody that's not going to bump the money up, because nobody wants to take a smaller bite of the pie right now. And so Clemson just doesn't move the money up, from what I've been told. And that's, I think, at least for them, because they're already in that state and they don't have such a huge brand that they're bringing in value other ways.
Wow.
Can't
tell the Clemson people that.
Yeah.
They'll argue to death.
Talking with John Talty here from CBS Sports, college football analyst, writer, reporter. Georgia gets moved down in the rankings. Texas gets moved up. Texas looks like a wagon, dude. What do you make of the top of college football? Kind of who's legit, who might not be?
Yeah, I mean, Texas looks awesome so far, right? There's been very little to not like. I mean, of course, the Quinn Ewers injury question seems like it's okay. Arch looked great in as a replacement. But, you know, you're curious to see how that plays out. But, yeah, I mean, they've looked awesome, and I think they match up well against a lot of the other teams. You know, I think Georgia's going to be fascinating to me because they play Alabama in a week. In many ways, kind of the early game of the year. It's a great early test for Kalen DeBoer, his first really big game in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, Georgia hasn't looked great so far. You know, they didn't look great against Kentucky. They're banged up a bit. Offense just was not able to really get it going. And so are they able to use that as a wake-up call, having a bye week this week and have it kind of locked and loaded going into Tuscaloosa next week? That's something that I'm personally fascinated about. And then, you know, Ole Miss and Tennessee are both just rolling right now. I mean, Lane's putting up a ton of points. They look awesome. They've got, you know, some interesting games coming up, but really kind of easy schedule to start the season, able to get a lot of momentum. And, you know, Tennessee has to go to Oklahoma, the big Josh Heupel reunion this weekend. They've looked great. Nico's looks like the real deal, and their defense maybe has impressed me more than anything. So, you know, the SEC is top heavy this year. All those teams feel like legitimate playoff contenders, legitimate national championship contenders. They're going to have to start playing each other. So we'll find out how they separate here in the coming weeks. But all those teams are really interesting to me, and all of them, I think, on paper, have the chance to really win big. But, you know, if you had to pick one right now, Texas is definitely the one that's been the most impressive.
Can Miami make some noise down the stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cam Ward looks like a Heisman contender. He has been, in my opinion, the best buy out of the portal that anyone made. And, you know, I've even written in the past, you know, it came down to basically Miami and Florida State, and Florida State not getting Cam Ward has had a pretty bad negative impact on their season. But Cam's been great for Florida. I mean, for Miami, they've put it together well. Schedule's pretty easy overall. You know, they've got a game coming up in a couple weeks against Louisville. Louisville feels like one of the kind of ACC contenders. I'm pretty sure it's at Louisville. So that will be, you know, Miami's big kind of test early on. But, you know, they feel like they have the weapons. The defense has been good. You know, the talent's been there. Just they've underachieved the last 2 years, but feels like they're starting to put it together. And as you guys know, if you've got the right quarterback, anything's possible. And, you know, Cam Ward looks like the right quarterback right now.
It's pretty wild when you look at this, B. Of the top 10, and I'm just looking at the coaches poll, you have, is it 7 out of 10 or SEC teams? The highest ranked ACC team is Miami at 11. John, you didn't even mention Mizzou, who is...
Yeah, Missouri's in it, too.
Yo, Mizzou is loaded, and they cover like crazy. You go to the Big Ten, you've got Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and frankly, I think that's the only real contenders in the Big Ten. I think Michigan just doesn't have it. I think Harbaugh got out at the right time. What do you make of the Buckeyes, the Ducks, and the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, and I would add USC to that mix potentially, too.
I completely forgot they're in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I know. It all comes back to conference realignment, right? It's really tough to get used to it. Yeah, I mean, they play Michigan this week. I expect USC to win that game. Michigan has not impressed me, and I think USC so far, again, it's early, but their defense looks really good so far, and I think that the defensive staff adjustments that Lincoln Riley, that overhaul that he made, I think has worked out really well so far. And, you know, if they continue to win, I think you'll see Miller Moss get some Heisman hype if he hasn't already. But, yeah, I think those are the ones you mentioned are probably the top ones so far. I probably like USC a little bit better than Penn State, but Ohio State hasn't played anybody really yet. There's some big games coming down the line. I think October 12th, Ohio State, Oregon, that might be the game that decides the Big Ten. I think that's, you know, the one that people already kind of have their eyes on. And, you know, is Ohio State for real, or are they just kind of beating up on some of these lesser opponents? That will be a test. You know, Oregon hasn't really impressed me so far.
No,
they came in with a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel's been okay. Offensive line has not been great. They easily could have lost to Boise State a week ago. And Ashton Jansen's been an incredible running back for Boise State. But, you know, you don't expect them to potentially lose there. So I think we're waiting to see can that light flip on. You know, it hasn't happened yet. They have the talent. They have one of the highest paid rosters in college football. They've invested a lot of money in NIL. I really like Dan Lanning as a coach. I think he's, you know, the future of the sport in many ways, but this hasn't happened yet. So, you know, they haven't had that disaster. That's great. Some of the early part of a season just about surviving, but I'd like to see them start ramping it up because we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, for sure. Georgia Bama next weekend got an invite to go down on Air Mathers, and we'll be in Arizona watching that game. But a long ago power. John, I'm also going to give you a quick tip, dude. I'm telling you, October 19th, take the points with the Terps at home with the Trojans coming to town. USC's going to look past that game. Coach Locks will have the boys ready to play. They play the big boys tough, man.
He's thinking with his heart right there. Not his head.
Hey, I said it. I called my Michigan cover last year 3 months out, and they covered. I'm saying.
Okay.
Hey, we wrote about Locks a lot in our book, The Price. You know, I like Locks.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple chapters about Locks and Maryland and how they're trying to level up in the book. So, you know, I'm with you. I mean, they always, like you said, they always play Michigan well. They always play Ohio State well. You know, that loss to Michigan State was obviously disappointing.
That was disappointing.
You know, I think they should probably win all their games leading up to that USC game. And so, you know, as rowdy as College Park can get, I think it'll be a pretty good crowd for that game.
I'll be there. I plan on going. I don't know if I'm going with my family or if I'm going solo. If I'm going solo, I'll be right.
It could be a problem.
a perennial power that has just completely fallen off, and I just don't know how real this return is. What do you think about Nebraska? Tommy Frazier was one of my favorite players as a kid. I loved those teams. What are they now?
I think they're on the way up. You know, it was funny. I spent a whole day last week with Trent Dilfer, the UAB head coach. And, you know, you spent a whole day with somebody, you talk about a lot of stuff. And he was just absolutely raving to me about Matt Rhule and just how he's done things at Nebraska, how real he thinks he is. And he's like, you know, he's like, next offseason, if there's any coach I could spend some time with, it'd be Matt Rhule and what he's doing at Nebraska. So, you know, it felt like that program was in some ways dead, you know, especially all the hype around Scott Frost, you know, the hero coming back to save the place, and didn't work. But Rhule's done a good job. I think he's very realistic about what it takes to win in this current world. Of course, having Dylan Raiola helps. That was, you know, probably one of the best moves they could have possibly made. You know, committed to Georgia, able to get that flip late. He's been the real deal so far. I think they need to, of course, continue to surround him with talent. But they've impressed me. You know, Matt Rhule's a good coach. Did a good job at the college level. You know, didn't quite work out with the Panthers.
Yeah, he's
but,
great at the college level.
I mean, but is anybody good at the Panthers anymore?
No.
Yeah, I don't know that I put that much blame on them there. So, you know, I think, yeah, it's a great early test against Illinois. Illinois's been good. You know, their defense has been pretty good. You know, Bielema does a good job there. You know, they beat the Terps last year. That was a tough one for Maryland. You know, they just seem to kind of win these games. So, you know, we'll see whether Nebraska is for real or not, but you know, there was a time where I thought Nebraska, not dead, but was dying. And for all the reasons you'd expect, like, you know, a lot of the talent has left the Midwest and moved south. It's not a lot of, you know, local recruiting talent. But I actually think the NIL era has been great for Nebraska because they have an incredibly passionate fan base that's willing to invest in the program. And I think that that's been very beneficial for Matt Rhule right now.
Yeah, for sure. Last one, because they just played. Obviously, this used to be an old school rivalry. Like, I remember Cordell Stewart going to Lincoln. Now, Nebraska got this one. They beat Colorado. Then Colorado, though, was able to rally, beat Colorado State on the road. Deion's crew is 2-1. Deion generates a billion headlines, whether you like them, hate them, somewhere in between. Their schedule's about to get a lot tougher. They're getting into the Big 12 play. The fact that Colorado versus UCF is a conference game is mind-boggling. But where do we think this is going, and where do we think Deion's going?
I think it's going downhill, and I think Deion's leaving. Maybe not this year, but it just doesn't feel like this thing's built to last. And I think it's for all the reasons you expect. Like, they have incredible talent at the very, very top. But top to bottom, it's not there. I think we saw it last year. We've seen some versions of it. I think it'll become more and more apparent as the season goes on. And, you know, I think when you talk to different agents and coaches and other people in the industry, I think a lot of people are keeping an eye on Colorado. Just to, is Deion going to stick around? You know, if both Shador and Travis Hunter go to the NFL, is he going to stick around? I think that's an open question that people have right now. And I just, you know, with the way that he has approached building that program, it's very unique. I mean, he has kind of skewed most high school recruiting. He's talked about, you know, not going on recruiting trips to high schools. I think he's the only coach in America who's doing it that way. If it works, it's great. When it doesn't, a lot of people point fingers, which is what you're kind of seeing right now. But I'm very skeptical of their long-term potential. I'm skeptical of their short-term potential this season. I just don't think he has enough depth and talent beyond, you know, Shador and Travis and a couple other guys. And I think that's going to, you know, become a problem as season goes on. And you've already seen some of their guys getting banged up. You know, that's, you know, why Alabama and Georgia and other programs have been so good for so long is that if one of their top guys goes down, they usually have another 4 or 5 star ready to step in and play. Colorado just doesn't have anywhere near that depth. And so, you know, when they lose some of these guys, when they go down, you see a noticeable drop back. And that would be my fear moving forward. And especially, you know, the offensive line issues, you know, if Shador gets banged up at all, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, or God forbid, you know, Travis gets banged up.
I have a friend named Greg who constantly is texting me Deion conspiracy theory.
Going to Dallas.
He was convinced that Deion and Shador were going to Dallas, and then they paid Dak. So now that conspiracy theory is gone. Obviously, there's trouble at Florida State. What are the chances Deion lands at Florida State?
I just don't see it. You know, I Mike Norvell, I think, would be owed like, I don't know, like $60 or $70 million. So he's locked in for a while. And, you know, I think if he was able to take Colorado to the next level, and I think that, you know, a year ago when there was all the national attention around Colorado and it felt like things were really, you know, boom, you thought, all right, he's probably going to do 2 years here and then he'll bounce to that next big job. But I think there's a lot of skepticism within the industry of his ability to win at a high level, particularly at a Power Four program. Like, you know, the ancillary benefits of Deion are obvious. You get a lot of national attention. You know, I know at CBS Sports, we've written about how they've had a kind of a boom in terms of applications and out-of-state people wanting to go to Colorado. All that stuff's great. There's value financially for a school having Deion involved. But when it comes to winning games on the field, I think there's a lot of skepticism about Deion's ability to do that. And so I just don't see that jump happening right now. You know, could he go to the NFL? Sure, it's possible. But Florida State to me is not happening at this moment. I just don't know. You know, Florida's not going to happen. I don't know what bigger job that's going to potentially come open this cycle that would actually have interest in Deion at this point.
John, this has been great, man. We can do it again. Appreciate the time.
Would love to. Thanks. Appreciate you guys.
All right. That is John Talty, J Talty, T-A-L-T-Y. That was good. Good job, Landini. Great booking right there. 1:30, Ben Fisher will join us. But coming up next, We're going to go around the NFL and just figure out something we've learned from all these teams. What have we learned, Brian? We're trying to learn.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Some person jumping off a bridge?
Really?
Yeah, apparently it was like a real thing. Like some person was
I'd be kind of scared to walk over and talk to those people.
Some person was about to end it, and Bon Jovi kept them.
What if you go to talk to them and they jump because you were over there talking to them?
I don't know the specifics.
I'm just asking
like, this woman, this is from the USA Today.
Mm.
A woman in crisis. A woman who was standing on the ledge of a pedestrian bridge in Nashville was helped by John Bon Jovi. It seems like they just talked her out of jumping.
Mm.
The police thanked him.
Did he start singing a song? And she's like,
maybe
say, I love this.
You're halfway there, living on a prayer. I don't know. Take my hand. We'll make it, I swear, landfill. I have no idea what happened, but it's a remarkable story for somebody that wants to put more time and effort into it than I did. Denton Day in the building. All right, B. It's interesting to think about what we've kind of learned going around the NFL. I'm curious if there's anything. I have one, I'd argue, big picture thing that through 2 weeks, I'm not entirely convinced isn't the beginning of a new trend. And I've kind of wondered when this would occur.
About the running and passing?
Yeah, man.
I think that's going to change, Jay, before this year's out.
You think?
Yes.
Why?
Because the rules are there for the passing game. Everything is set up for the offense to be more successful. And right now, the fact that most teams, hell, all teams did not play consistently enough in preseason. It will change. Just like they call in all these illegal formations on the offense, why tie it changes up when they start calling stuff on the defense and then open right back up.
But the numbers, so if you live under a rock, perhaps, and that's okay. I hope you enjoy your rock. Passing numbers, scoring numbers, all that stuff is way down to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's only two games, so it's relatively easy to be dismissive of that. But even passing numbers across the league last year are down. I mean, you only had, in passing yards, I think you only had three or four, you had 10 quarterbacks go over 4,000 yards,
mm-hmm.
but only three that went over 4,500. You compare that to like maybe 8 years ago or something. Those numbers have gone down. Passing touchdowns have gone down. I don't know that it will continue at the current pace because you're right. I think some guys just haven't really got going yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that defenses always adapt. And if they're just going to not let you get deep on them and play nickel and dime and have a bunch of DBs out there, at some point, it's more effective to just run the ball.
Well, but if you got a defense out, offense that, okay, you're not going to let me beat you deep. I'm going to just methodically go down the field, and the very good quarterbacks are still going to put points up. And if you play this little bend but don't break defense, you're not giving your offense a lot of time to go out there and work. So if you're playing against Pat Mahomes and those types, you're going to lose the game anyway.
All right. So you don't think that trend will continue?
No.
Okay. Elsewhere around the league, when you look specifically at some teams, bottom of the NFC wild card situation, somebody's going to win the East.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think it's Dallas. I hope I'm wrong. Somebody's going to win the North. I still think that's Detroit and not necessarily Minnesota, though mm-hmm. Minnesota's leading that. Somebody's going to win the South. I don't know who the hell it is because New Orleans shot out like a cannon.
Is it Tampa in the same one, right?
They're both 2-0.
So they're going to be battling for you.
And Tampa's won it three straight times.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm counting Atlanta out either. Somebody's going to win the West.
I am.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Those other two teams are just better overall.
Somebody's going to win the West. Right now, it's the Seahawks. They're 2-0. The Niners lost. So you got your four winners and then legit wild card aspirational teams. I think the Niners end up winning that division. So I got Seahawks as a legit wild card contender. I would say Atlanta as a wild card, and then whoever isn't winning, Saints and Bucks, that's three. The Vikings, I think, are a legit wild card. That's four. Then Eagles, whoever doesn't win.
So you buying into Darnold?
I'm buying into you only need to get to nine wins to probably get that seventh wild card spot, and they've already got two.
Yeah.
That's 7 out of 15.
We had two last year, too.
True. Yesterday we did the cooked test of the 0-2 teams that are the most cooked. What 2-0 team is the most fraudulent to you? In the NFC, you've got Seattle, the Saints, the Bucks, the Vikings.
I'm going to have to go with the Vikings.
I think that's an easy one, right?
Yeah, I'll go with the Vikings.
I do believe, you know what? Are we sure this Saints stuff is real? You buy it? I understand the skepticism with Sam Darnold, but you don't have any skepticism with Derek Carr?
But the Saints are playing great defense, and Derek Carr is playing well. That may be the difference. And not only Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara seems to be back.
Balling.
So if Alvin Kamara can do it, Derek Carr don't have to do everything. Kamara had four touchdowns. Three of them were rushing. That's 28 points right there. That takes a lot of pressure off your quarterback.
And it's been a while, but Derek Carr did have a string of Pro Bowl seasons early in his career. Back, I mean, this is how long he's been playing. He played in Oakland for 9 years.
Yeah.
That's a seasoned vet at this point. His career completion percentage is 65%. His previous high completion percentage was in Oakland in 2019, where he completed 70% of his passes.
Mm.
Right now,
see, he at least has some. He has a track record of doing something.
Right now, through two games, he's completing 77% of his passes.
I don't know if that continues, right. But he has proven to you he's better than what those early years were in New Orleans.
He's also not taking a lot of sacks, and that's been an issue. Like last year, he took 31 sacks. Right now, he's got two through two games. Oh,
Rooster shows up every time, huh?
Rooster knows food's coming, and he's following his beak.
No, he's walking around sniffing.
Follow your nose wherever
now,
it goes.
Now, he's a beagle Rooster or something. Big-ass beagle.
Ask Roost, Chris, heavy metal, if you can hear me, the most fraudulent NFC 2-0 team. I don't know that I can buy the Saints scoring at this capacity. But I don't know that I can buy.
They may
Sam
not continue
Darnold.
Scoring at this capacity, but they've been okay.
Landfill, bigger fraud, Sam Darnold and the Vikes or Derek Carr and the Saints?
Sam Darnold and the Vikes.
Hard to argue. Oh, no wonder Rooster was walking around.
Yeah, we
just
know
showed up with a box of sandwiches.
He probably walked him in.
Yeah. I think we figured this out. Most fraudulent, Rooster showing up.
It's just Rooster.
Rooster showing up to say hi,
he
or Rooster showing
up
with
food,
his food,
and then he takes other people's food and say their name wasn't on it, but his wasn't on it, so he took it.
We got to check in on the weather. Don't go anywhere. Shout out to Ahmet. We're enjoying a victory Monday on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Brisket.
Boy, I love it.
Something interesting. Now practice just started, and it's only Wednesday, and there's a lot to consider. Justin Herbert not out there for the beginning of practice for the L.A. Chargers.
How'd it hurt?
Well, he hurt his ankle. Ahmet missed a shout-out, but we appreciate you. Now, astute listeners of the radio program understand at various times we've had debates about rain.
Yeah.
What constitutes rain.
Yeah.
What.
Yeah.
What will get you cut on a football field if you call something rain?
Yeah.
Deion Sanders has clearly proved a provocateur in college football circles. And I think a lot of the Deion stuff goes over this edge into like a nasty, mean, vindictive, petty world on both sides. But I don't think this is that. I think this is a good old-fashioned debate about rain. Deion Sanders ahead of the game against Baylor.
Hey, Coach, with potential rain in the forecast for Saturday.
We got rain? What forecast you got?
Just changed this morning.
Oh, let me see. It ain't say rain on mine. Who do you use? Straight up.
I just saw it from a local meteorologist this morning.
Yeah, there you go.
A meteorologist?
I got 5169. This joke has been accurate. Anybody else got? Read yours.
Either way, let's just say there is rain on the,
no,
in the forecast.
No, I don't say there is rain. I'm one of those good weather man. When you say 60%, I say 40%.
Someone,
40% chance.
A meteorologist that I respect highly said that there's a pretty good chance it rains on Saturday.
Mine says 30%.
Okay. I don't know which one I got. I mean, need to check mine. Rain does not...
I was just going to ask if you do wet ball drills or anything different to prepare for that.
Yeah, with rain, 30% is 30, 70% it won't. There's the drills that say it won't rain.
Try, go ahead.
Listen, my Lord. A lot of the Deion stuff gets somewhere between silly to crazy with some mean in between. I thought this was just hysterical.
I thought he was just messing with the dude.
Whether he's messing with the guy, I mean, he seriously pulled his phone out and pulled up his own app. It reminded me of you and I talking when we're trying to figure out if we could play golf. And you're like, nah, man, you got to try this app. Like, it seemed like a real moment where he's like, is it supposed to rain?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one.
I love it.
A lot of what else is going on out there.
When the guy went to a meteorologist that I respect, I would have been like, I don't respect him. I don't know what the hell he is.
Yeah, maybe just drop the name. That just made me laugh, especially as we've debated rain and rain percentages and all of the stuff.
When it's missing, it's not raining, Jay.
Fair. What about, does today count as rain? This morning it did.
When it was raining, yes, but right now it's just wet.
Is it raining out there now?
Just wet.
Just wet.
Yeah.
Do we care through two games that Jaden Daniels hasn't thrown a touchdown pass?
I don't like it, but I don't care because they did. I think they've been in position. His not throwing a touchdown pass had nothing to do with the people jumping off sides and moving it from where they would take a chance and then when they wouldn't take a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were about to go for it on fourth down, and then all of a sudden, boom, somebody jumps off sides. So, no. But because I think, like you said earlier, we watched enough of him in practice, enough of him passing, to where you see it is going to happen. You know, I'm not going to lose my mind because it didn't happen in the first 2 weeks.
Do you think it's weird that of the rookie quarterbacks, none of them have thrown a touchdown pass?
No, because like we're talking to Greenberg earlier. He's talked about how they're bringing along guys slowly. I can see him bringing along slowly. Hell, we're talking about Jaden throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage. What did Bo Nix do? They throw him behind the line of scrimmage? I mean, and then you look at Caleb. Caleb is a person where he's wanting to extend everything. But you don't have all those wide people running wide open in the league as you did in college. So they're young guys, all three of them. They're young. And
Caleb right now has no touchdowns, passing or running, two picks and a fumble.
Yeah.
He has thrown the ball 37 plus 29. 66 times, yeah. I believe. Bo Nix, he's got more turnovers for sure. I also don't know how much Sean Payton set him up to succeed.
Payton is trying to set him up to make him look good.
Bo Nix has thrown the ball 77 times, no passing touchdowns, four interceptions. He does have one rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels has two rushing touchdowns from that first game. And no passing touchdowns, but also no turnovers.
Yeah.
There was a strip sack fumble, but he recovered.
Yeah. But my whole thing is, we say Jaden is a young guy. He's learning. These other two guys are learning, too. And I'm not going to judge them, especially in 2 weeks. I'm not going to judge either one of them in 2 weeks compared to the other guys that we normally compare them to. We've seen greatness in Pat. We've seen all those different things, and we seem to judge everybody based off of them. They all had to get to this point. We got to allow those guys a chance to get to the point. And I understand young, high-drafted quarterbacks don't get much of a chance, you know, if you don't hit the ground running. But all three of these guys are in situations where they have full support.
These guys, all three of them, are in way better situations than Bryce Young got last year.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's over for Bryce Young?
I don't know. You know, I questioned it when he was coming out. Like, the thing that really bothers me about him, you don't see many quarterbacks that have had success in the league that are below 6 feet that don't run. Hell, we go all the way back to Fran Tarkenton. Fran Tarkenton was less than 6 feet, but he was a scrambling.
Craig Morton.
He was a scrambler. Bryce Young is a pocket passer at 5'10". And he doesn't really run the ball. So that right there is going to be hard. If it happens, I'll be amazed. I'll be happy for him. But I don't see that one happen. And I said that to you when he was in college.
You did.
A passing quarterback, a guy who sits in the pocket at that height. When we talk about guys being able to get in front of you and adjust your passing lane, Kyler Murray finds lanes. He rolls out. He does things.
He can move, right.
All the guys that are like not as tall, they find lanes. This dude sits in the pocket. So if I don't get to you, I just put my hands up. I'm going to make you have to throw it over my hands. So I don't know.
I take it back. Craig Morton was 6'4". We're learning a lot about Craig Morton today. Yeah. Explain this to me,
you just throwing Craig Morton name out there now since you got one little.
How the hell does this make sense? He was the fifth overall pick in the 1965 NFL draft by the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't go till the 10th round of the AFL draft by the Raiders. Did the AFL not want him because they figured he was going to the NFL?
Probably so.
Pre-merger days?
Probably so.
Who expected pre-merger talk on B. Mitchell Finley? Power rankings next.